We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to CBS Sports Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all live, all the time.
All right, Joe Beningo with you here, 8:03 in the East Coast here in New Jersey, where the sun is actually shining for a change. I'll be here, of course, till 10 o'clock, CBS Sports Radio nationally, WFAN in New York, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. And, of course, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. It lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Joining us right now, we actually had him on yesterday, but why not have him on again on our show in the afternoon with Evan, Ian Begley of SNY, talk basketball with him. Ian, good to talk to you again. How are you?
Joe, what's happening? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. You know, I started the show with this, and I don't understand this. You know, why doesn't the NBA, whether they have a season or not the rest of the year, doesn't it make sense for them, you know, with the landscape or would be all theirs? We saw it in the NFL. To do the draft lottery like they always do, you can certainly do it, you know, this month, and then have the draft in June. I mean, everybody, the ratings will be through the roof. There's nothing else going on. It doesn't matter whether you start the season again after that or not. I mean, these guys wouldn't be eligible to play with their team until, you know, next year. I don't see why the NBA isn't doing that.
You know, I think part of it is why we haven't gotten there yet, and we may get there, but why we haven't gotten there yet is because they still are desperate to get some of these regular season games in. So I think that's where the focus is right now, trying to get those regular season games in so the owners can make up some of the gate money. They can take care of their, you know, local TV contracts. They don't have to give back money there. And that's, I think, where their biggest focus is, just trying to figure all that out. As far as the date of the lottery, date of the draft, all that stuff, it's all kind of contingent on them trying to fit in these regular season games and where they get there. And then, you know, obviously you get to the playoffs and that's a whole different story. But I think that's item one for them, trying to fit in the games that had been postponed due to the coronavirus. And so that'll affect the timing of everything. But I agree with your point generally that you have everybody's eyeballs. If you do the lottery, you do the draft, so just take care of it then. But I think that the logistics of what they're trying to figure out now with the regular season kind of get in the way of going forward with the decision that you're talking about.
You know, to me, it makes no sense to have the rest of the regular season. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, look, what is there, about 16 games left in the year. You know, you've played, a 60-plus game season representative of the year. You know, if you're going to resume the season, you should just go right to the playoffs. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me the other way.
That is the easiest way to do it. I mean, just from an East perspective, taking away all the ramifications of losing money on those regular season games, the ramifications of trying to figure out the draft order without a complete regular season, you know, obviously the local TV deals, all that, taking that away – it makes total sense just to fast forward, go right to the playoffs. I would imagine it's easier to get everything together for that bubble if you're just talking about playoff teams. But again, you know, there's money at stake here. There's owners who don't want to lose more money than they've already lost, I would imagine. So that's why there's still this push for the regular season games. And I know that, you know, there's at least a coaching staff from at least one team that earlier this week was still preparing for every scenario, regular season, straight to the playoffs, shortened playoff series, everything. So I think that's all still on the table at this point. But in general, I mean, I agree with you. Just fast forward to the playoffs, make it easier on everybody. But there's owners there that are still trying to make some money back, and that's why there's still this push for the regular season games.
Do you think we'll see – look, the one thing we know is that if they do come back this year, they're not going to be playing – I mean, you're not going to see basketball in Madison Square Garden this year. You're not going to see it in Brooklyn this year. It's going to have to be – you know, I know I've heard talk about Orlando or, you know, having it in Disney World. I mean, we talked about that, all that kind of scenario. So there's probably not even going to be fans in the stands, right? I mean, I would doubt it.
Right. I think we're a ways away from there being fans in an arena to watch an NBA basketball game. I think it's just going to be, you know, quote unquote, essential personnel with these in the arena with the teams. So you're talking about, you know, coaching staff, trainers, support staff, but no fans and very little media. And, you know, that's just the way it's going to be if basketball is to come back this summer in that bubble scenario, whether it's Las Vegas, Walt Disney World or somewhere else. It's just going to be a very, very different product than the product we're used to for obvious reasons. And, it's going to be just strange because no crowd.
Right.
You know, you're in the playoffs, but it's not a playoff atmosphere at all. So it's just going to be bizarre if and when it does come to that with the NBA.
Well, what do you think, and I'm talking to Ian Begley of SNY, does a great job, of course, with covering basketball, the Knicks and all of that. What do you think the general consensus of the players would be about playing the playoffs? Because like you said, you know, part of the playoff, the charm of the playoffs is the intensity in the building. I mean, I think that's a big part of it with the crowd and all of that. What do you think the general feeling of the players would be with that, you know, hey, we're going to play the playoffs with no people? Well, what do you think?
The sentiment that I've heard is generally from a few players who have talked to friends or whatever, they've talked about the idea that it's just going to be such a lack of energy and atmosphere, and they have concerns about what the games will be like, what the competitive nature of the games will be like, because players feed off the crowd. I mean, let's be honest.
Sure.
Good or bad, players feed off the crowd. So it's going to be strange. It's certainly going to be an adjustment. And I think that, you know, there's real concern from some players about them kind of being rushed back into this situation and put at risk with, you know, the idea that one of them could test positive for coronavirus and then spreads around in that bubble. I think there is real concern there. So until health officials, the league, everybody else can allay those fears, I think a lot of players are going to be uncomfortable with the idea of going back, getting in that setting if you're putting yourself at risk.
Your gut, do we see basketball again in the 1920 season or no?
I am pessimistic now because to me it's all about the testing and it's all about having enough tests for everybody, not just the NBA, not just MLB, NFL.
Right.
It's having the tests for everybody, because if you are one of these leagues and the tests are available, but they're not available for everybody, and you are getting your players tested every day to make sure they're safe, and coaches and whoever else, and there's people who are, you know, let's say in New York, they need the test, they can't get the test. That's a PR nightmare, and it's unfair to the general population. So until you get to that point where everybody can get the test when they need the test, I don't think you can get back on the floor.
Mm. It's going to be very, very interesting. All right, let's talk about the Knicks for a second. We talked yesterday, and you really feel, and I think, look, Mike Miller to me has done a very good job, and I wouldn't have had a problem with him coming back to be the coach. We know that's not going to happen. It's not sexy. You know, they want to change. Leon Rose is there. You think Tom Thibodeau is the guy that's going to be the coach of this team, right?
If I'm betting today, that's who I would put my money on. That's my odds-on favorite to be the guy. You know, incredibly close relationship with Leon Rose, and but we haven't really started the interview. We haven't started the interview process, Joe. And I think, you know, it's premature to kind of declare anybody the overall favorite or say this person's going to get the job, that person's going to going to get the job, because once people interview, you know, and people start to form, people at with the Knicks or the Garden start to form their opinion on these guys based on interviews, you know, things could change. But today, we're talking today, you're asking me where would I place a bet. I'm placing a bet on Tom Thibodeau being the head coach. And I do think Mike Miller, you know, you mentioned it, you're right, he did a commendable job in difficult circumstances. I think he did well enough to land himself a position with this organization. If he isn't retained as head coach, it's another position, assistant, whatever it is. If he wants it, I do think he'll be under serious consideration for another role in the organization if they do bring in another head coach, because people over there with the Knicks, with the Garden, were very impressed with the way Miller handled himself on and off the court during his time as interim coach.
And Scott Perry is retained. I guess, what has he got, 1 year left on his deal? Is that what it is for Perry, Ian?
Yeah, it was. They actually did a new deal, is my understanding. I think they did a new deal for 1 year, and I think part of that is the idea that the Knicks, Leon Rose, takes over in early March, and they have a significant draft coming up for the franchise and for the Leon Rose tenure. You have to get this draft right. And, you know, you had Perry and his guys who did the scouting for this draft all year long, and everything's in flux now, and it would be really tough for Leon Rose to wave bye-bye to everybody in that front office, Scott Perry included, and then try to bring in another group that had an organized and detailed scout of this draft. So I think that was part of it. And Leon Rose and Scott Perry have a long-standing relationship. You know, I think that's important here, too. So I think, you know, some people look at this as kind of a lame duck situation for Scott Perry. He's a bridge to another GM next year. But I think, you know, if for some reason the Knicks do well, exceed expectations this coming season, you know, don't discount the idea that the Perry-Rose relationship could be a longer-term one.
Mm. And very, very interesting. And you think that Knicks, because I look at it right now, and to me, they got a lot of assets for the first time really forever. They got all these number one draft choices, you know, that they got. They got picks in the trade for Porzingis and all of that. They actually set up in the draft, because, you know, years they never had a number one pick. And we would go, you know, how many number one picks did they trade in all the stupid trades they made over all the years? You still feel, though, that they still look to go big game hunting. If there was somebody available, big-name guy available, they might still try to go out and get that guy. Is that right?
I think, you know, if there's a disgruntled star, young star out there who says publicly or privately, you know, I want to trade, I'm not going to re-sign with my current team, I think the Knicks will be aggressive in pursuing that opportunity if they see that player as a fit for them. And, you know, that was part of the mindset before the trade deadline. It was kind of, hey, whatever we do here before the deadline, whatever pieces we trade out, we want to make sure we have enough assets moving forward to put ourselves in position to be in conversations if a young star, you know, asks for a trade. So depending on the fit, I think they would be aggressive there. And you mentioned the picks. They have, I think, seven first-rounders in the next four drafts. So they have the assets there to be in the conversation on those types of trades if one comes around. And if we know the NBA, you know, it's not an if scenario, it's a when scenario when a player is going to ask for a trade. So I think they feel like they're in good shape there if the player who asks for a trade seems like a good fit for New York.
Well, what's your thoughts? Let me ask you again. We're talking to Ian Begley of SNY. You watch this team all year. What's your thoughts on R.J. Barrett at this point?
You know what? It's tough because he's 19, right? When you look at a 19-year-old, you know he's going to struggle in year one. I think generally with Barrett, the things that you liked was the way that he impacted the game outside of scoring the ball. Like, I think he had nights where he played well defensively. It was played with energy. He ran the floor well. He rebounded well. And then you look at his offensive game, obviously, I think the key for him, scouts say it, if he is able to knock down a perimeter shot consistently, improve his shot, he's going to be a very effective player because of the other things I mentioned, because of the way he impacts the game outside of scoring. And he can get to the basket, and he's not explosive off the dribble, but he uses his body in an effective way to give himself space around the rim to be able to finish. So there were a lot of things to like there. He's got a lot of things to work on, particularly the shot. But one thing, you know, people around him say, and the Knicks say, is that he's got this mentality where he doesn't get hung up on what happened yesterday. He's not worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. He's very much in the moment, and he's an incredibly hard worker. So because of that, I think that's really important, particularly in New York for a young player. Because of that, I think whatever his talent is, he's going to reach that level because of the way he approaches his craft.
Now, we talked about this yesterday with Evan, and I'm going to ask you as well. Kenny Atkinson, of course, let go. Who do you think is the next coach of the Nets?
You know, I think we talked about it yesterday. I think Ty Lue makes a lot of sense
because of
the boxes he checks off, right? He's had success at the highest level. He's won a title as a coach. He's coached stars. He's done it as a head coach, assistant coach. He's been a teammate of stars. So he knows the game from a 360-degree perspective. And I think for those reasons, those are going to be big factors, I think, for the Nets. To me, what it comes down to, because it's the NBA, it's does Kevin Durant sign off? Does Kyrie Irving sign off?
Right.
They sign off on the guy. That's going to be the guy they hire. I don't know if they would sign off on Ty Lue. I know Kyrie Irving's had success under Ty Lue, so that helps. But that's, to me, the bottom line here. If those two are on board, then that's who the Nets head coach is going to be.
You think you would see Durant play? Let's say they came back. You know, obviously the Nets are in the playoff position right now. They'd be the seventh seed in the East. If they started the playoffs, let's say, at the end of July, you think there's any chance that Durant is playing for the Nets?
You know, they talked about him maybe playing USA Basketball this summer. So because of that, I don't think you can rule it out. I mean, it obviously depends on the timing. As you said, if they're into August and they're getting ready to play games.
Right.
You know, I think there's a possibility because that's around the time Team USA would have been convening. So if he put his name on that list, obviously, he did that with the thought that he could be back on the court in a competitive environment at that point. So I think there's a possibility there, and that's got to be pretty exciting for Net fans.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Could you imagine him making a big run with Durant and Irving coming from the seventh seed? I mean, why not?
And the other thing there, they make a big run with Jacques Vaughn on the bench.
Oh, right,
I think
right.
You have to give him then more consideration to be the full-term guy. And I feel so bad for a guy like Jacques Vaughn and a guy like Mike Miller. You know, they have these opportunities here as interim head coaches to, put forward a case for themselves
sure. As
the permanent head coach. And, obviously with the season suspended, that was taken away from them.
You know, one thing I really like, Ian, is that they're talking about moving next year and starting the season maybe in December. I always felt the NBA should start around Christmas. I mean, that's me. You know, I think 82 games is too much. Obviously, they're probably not going to cut that back. I have heard maybe a little, but it wouldn't be significant. You know, but to me, the optimum starting time really for the NBA is probably, the end of December. You know, you're starting the football regular season is just about over. To me, that'd probably be the best time. And they're talking about doing that next year. I think that's a great idea.
I agree because of where people's attention is, the general sports fan's attention. You know, you're better off if you're the NBA to get people paying attention in late December. People always talk about Christmas Day.
Yep.
As being really the start of the regular season nationally for that national sports fan, the more casual NBA fan. So it makes sense from a business perspective. And if that's the way they go for 2020, 2021, and they see success there, you could easily see them getting consensus to change the schedule and move things around to where the start of their season is there. To me, Joe, you said it from a business perspective, it makes all the sense in the world because you're not overshadowed as much by
right.
the NFL. So maybe, you're making more money at the gate. You're making more money based on, ratings and TV revenue and this and that. So, yeah, I think that's certainly one of the interesting aspects of this whole thing with the season suspension with the coronavirus crisis.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, let me ask you before we let you go again, Ian Begley with us. Have you been watching The Last Dance, Ian Begley?
So, I'll be so honest with you. I watched first episode. I cannot wait to watch the other episodes, but I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. So I have
what is it? Three? What do you got? 3 and 1? Is that what you said?
Yeah, 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. So it's been I feel like Mary Poppins. I'm chasing my kids around. I'm trying to take care of everybody, and then I'm just getting to bed as early as I can. So it is on my list to catch up. I can't wait to catch up on it. I have not seen the last 3 episodes yet.
Well, I think that this weekend is going to be they're going to get into the whole Nick Bull rivalry, if you want to call it that. It was extremely one-sided, as you know. So I think if you're a Nick fan, I'm looking forward to watching it, but there's going to be a lot of pain. I'm going to be reminded of a lot of pain coming up over the weekend. I'm sure they'll get into the Charles Smith Memorial and all of that. So,
you think you'll get as angry on Sunday night? Will it drudge up all that anger and the pain for you? Or how do you think you'll process it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that series in 93 against the Bulls is probably, to me, it's still the worst loss the Knicks ever had. I mean, as a guy who, you know, wanted so badly, they had lost all those years. They lost 89 to the Bulls, 91 to the Bulls, 92 to the Bulls, all those losses to Jordan. There was nothing I wanted more than to beat him. I got to tell you. And they were up 2-0 in that series, and then the way it went down after that. You know, of course, the whole thing with the gambling with Jordan, which I think was a big part of it. I'm sure they'll get into it. You know, that he was seen in Atlantic City gambling between game one and two of that series. And, you know, the media made a big deal out of it, and that certainly motivated Jordan the rest of the way. So I'm sure they're going to get into that. But that was very, very, still to this day, stings probably more than any loss the Knicks ever had, to be honest with you.
Even the Starks-Houston NBA Finals.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Yeah, because they had a chance to take out the King.
You know what? What's that?
They had a chance to take out the King in 93, and they let it slip through their hands.
That was their best team. That was also their best team. They won. Mm-hmm. They won 60 games that year. They'd won a ton. I think 34 or 35 in a row with the Garden. They had the home court advantage. All of that. You know, I always say this. You know, you watch the evolution, and you saw the. How the Pistons got through finally the Celtics, and then how the Bulls finally got through the Pistons. And I was thinking that year, okay, our team is finally going to get through the Bulls. And it didn't happen. And, you know, even though they beat the Bulls in 94, and they were very lucky to beat the Bulls in 94 without Jordan because of the Hugh Hollins call with Hubert Davis and all of that, you know, they were lucky with that, it wasn't the same without Jordan there. So not beating Michael Jordan still to this day sticks with me more than anything, to be honest.
I hear the pain in your voice, and I feel for whoever's going to be watching with you on Sunday night. They're going to have to console you, I think.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Ian, it's always a pleasure. Look, it's good talking to you. Stay safe, be well, and hopefully we'll have some NBA news to talk about in the not-too-distant future.
I hope so, Joe. Always great to talk to you. Be well.
All right, man. Ian Begley of SNY. All right, Joe Beningo with you here on the CBS Sports Radio National League, WFAN in New York, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. We got John Harper coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll talk baseball with him. We're here till 10 o'clock. When, of course, my partner, Evan Roberts, comes your way.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.